Today on Commuter Bible, Nehemiah's enemies mock God's people and threaten them with violence. But Nehemiah trusts in the Lord, and they set their hands to the work. It's Nehemiah chapters 4 through 7 and Psalm 119 verses 33 through 48. This is Commuter Bible, the audio Bible podcast to match your weekly schedule. I'm your host, John Ross. The governors who oversee the region west of the Euphrates, which includes Judah and Jerusalem, are unhappy that Nehemiah has been sent to help rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Feeling threatened, Sanballat and other officials create false rumors and even bribe others to attempt to deceive Nehemiah. They make every attempt to stop or delay the work, but in just 52 days' time, Nehemiah and the diligent remnant of Israel rebuild the wall and restore its gates. As Nehemiah records this historical narrative, he often stops to pray to the Lord in his writing. Nehemiah, chapters 4 through 7. When Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became furious. He mocked the Jews before his colleagues and the powerful men of Samaria, and said, "What are these pathetic Jews doing? Can they restore it by themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they ever finish it? Can they bring these burnt stones back to life from the mounds of rubble?" Then Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was beside him, said, "Indeed, if a fox climbed up what they are building, he would break down their stone wall." "Listen, our God, for we are despised. Make their insults return on their own heads, and let them be taken as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their guilt, or let their sin be erased from your sight, because they have angered the builders." So we rebuilt the wall until the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had the will to keep working. When Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, Ammonites, and Ashdodites heard that the repair to the walls of Jerusalem was progressing and that the gaps were being closed, they became furious. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw it into confusion. So we prayed to our God and stationed a guard because of them day and night. In Judah, it was said, "The strength of the laborer fails, since there is so much rubble. We will never be able to rebuild the wall." And our enemies said, "They won't realize it until we're among them and can kill them and stop the work." When the Jews who lived nearby arrived, they said to us time and again, "Everywhere you turn, they attack us." So I stationed people behind the lowest sections of the wall at the vulnerable areas. I stationed them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I made an inspection, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the great and awe-inspiring Lord, and fight for your countrymen, your sons and daughters, your wives and homes." When our enemies heard that we knew their scheme and that God had frustrated it, every one of us returned to his own work on the wall. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half held spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers supported all the people of Judah who were rebuilding the wall. The laborers who carried the loads worked with one hand and held a weapon with the other. Each of the builders had his sword strapped around his waist while he was building, and the trumpeter was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is enormous and spread out, and we are separated far from one another along the wall. Wherever you hear the trumpet sound, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work, while half of the men were holding spears from daybreak until the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, "Let everyone and his servant spend the night inside Jerusalem, so that they can stand guard by night and work by day." And I, my brothers, my servants, and the men of the guard with me, never took off our clothes. Each carried his weapon, even when washing. There was a widespread outcry from the people and their wives against their Jewish countrymen. Some were saying, "We, our sons and our daughters, are numerous. Let us get grain so that we can eat and live." Others were saying, "We are mortgaging our fields, vineyards, and homes to get grain during the famine." Still others were saying, "We have borrowed money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards. We and our children are just like our countrymen and their children. Yet we are subjecting our sons and daughters to slavery. Some of our daughters are already enslaved. But we are powerless because our fields and vineyards belong to others." I became extremely angry when I heard their outcry and these complaints. After seriously considering the matter, I accused the nobles and officials, saying to them, "Each of you is charging his countrymen interest." So I called a large assembly against them and said, "We have done our best to buy back our Jewish countrymen who were sold to foreigners. But now you sell your own countrymen, and we have to buy them back." They remained silent and could not say a word. Then I said, "What you are doing isn't right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God and not invite the reproach of our foreign enemies? Even I, as well as my brothers and my servants, have been lending them money and grain. Please, let us stop charging this interest. Return their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and houses to them immediately, along with the percentage of the money, grain, new wine, and fresh oil that you have been assessing them." They responded, "We will return these things and require nothing more from them. We will do as you say." So I summoned the priests and made everyone take an oath to do this. I also shook the folds of my robe and said, "May God likewise shake from his house and property everyone who doesn't keep this promise. May he be shaken out and have nothing." The whole assembly said, "Amen." And they praised the Lord. Then the people did as they had promised. Furthermore, from the day King Artaxerxes appointed me to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until his 32nd year, 12 years, I and my associates never ate from the food allotted to the governor. The governors who preceded me had heavily burdened the people, taking from them food and wine as well as a pound of silver. Their subordinates also oppressed the people, but because of the fear of God, I didn't do this. Instead, I devoted myself to the construction of this wall, and all my subordinates were gathered there for the work. We didn't buy any land. There were 150 Jews and officials, as well as guests from the surrounding nations at my table. Each day, one ox, six choice sheep, and some fowl were prepared for me. An abundance of all kinds of wine was provided every 10 days. But I didn't demand the food allotted to the governor, because the burden on the people was so heavy. Remember me favorably, my God, for all that I have done for this people. When Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that no gap was left in it, though at that time I had not installed the doors in the city gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me a message. Come, let's meet together in the villages of the Ono Valley. They were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing important work and cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? 4 times they sent me the same proposal, and I gave them the same reply. Sanballat sent me this same message a 5th time by his aide, who had an open letter in his hand. In it was written, It is reported among the nations, and Geshem agrees, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. This is the reason you are building the wall. According to these reports, you are to become their king and have even set up the prophets in Jerusalem to proclaim on your behalf, there is a king in Judah. These rumors will be heard by the king. So come, let's confer together. Then I replied to him, There is nothing to these rumors you are spreading. You are inventing them in your own mind. For they were all trying to intimidate us, saying, They will drop their hands from the work and it will never be finished. But now, my God, strengthen my hands. I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, son of Mehetabel, who was restricted to his house. He said, Let's meet at the house of God, inside the temple. Let's shut the temple doors, because they're coming to kill you. They're coming to kill you tonight. But I said, Should a man like me run away? How can someone like me enter the temple and live? I will not go. I realized that God had not sent him because of the prophecy he spoke against me. Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was hired so that I would be intimidated, do as he suggested, sin, and get a bad reputation, in order that they could discredit me. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat for what they have done, and also the prophetess Noadiah and the other prophets who wanted to intimidate me. The wall was completed in 52 days, on the 25th day of the month of Elul. When all our enemies heard this, all the surrounding nations were intimidated and lost their confidence, for they realized that this task had been accomplished by our God. During those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. For many in Judah were bound by an oath to him, since he was a son-in-law of Shechaniah, son of Era, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshulam, son of Berechiah. These nobles kept mentioning Tobiah's good deeds to me, and they reported my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. When the wall had been rebuilt, and I had the doors installed, the gatekeepers, singers, and Levites were appointed. Then I put my brother Hanani in charge of Jerusalem, along with Hananiah, commander of the fortress, because he was a faithful man who feared God more than most. I said to them, "Do not open the gates of Jerusalem until the sun is hot, and let the doors be shut and securely fastened while the guards are on duty. Station the citizens of Jerusalem as guards, some at their posts and some at their homes." The city was large and spacious, but there were few people in it, and no houses had been built yet. Then my God put it into my mind to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the people to be registered by genealogy. I found the genealogical record of those who came back first, and I found the following written in it. These are the people of the province who went up among the captive exiles deported by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Each of them returned to Jerusalem and Judah to his own town. They came from Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Remiah, Nehemani, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpereth, Bigvai, Nahum, and Bana. The number of the Israelite men included Parosh's descendants, 2,172. Shephatiah's descendants, 372. Era's descendants, 652. Pahath-Moab's descendants, Jeshua's and Joab's descendants, 2,818. Elam's descendants, 1,254. Zattu's descendants, 845. Zakkai's descendants, 760. Binui's descendants, 648. Bebai's descendants, 628. Azgad's descendants, 2,322. Adonikam's descendants, 667. Bigvai's descendants, 2,067. Aden's descendants, 655. Ater's descendants of Hezekiah, 98. Hashem's descendants, 328. Bezai's descendants, 324. Harif's descendants, 112. Gibeon's descendants, 95. Bethlehem's and Netophah's men, 188. Anathoth's men, 128. Beth Asmaveth's men, 42. Kiriath Jearim's, Chephirah's, and Beeroth's men, 743. Ramah's and Geba's men, 621. Michmas's men, 122. Bethel's and Ai's men, 123. The other Nebo's men, 52. The other Elam's people, 1,254. Haram's people, 320. Jericho's people, 345. Lod's, Hadid's, and Ono's people, 721. Sinea's people, 3,930. The priests included Jediah's descendants of the house of Jeshua, 973. Immer's descendants, 1,052. Pasher's descendants, 1,243. Haram's descendants, 1,017. The Levites included Jeshua's descendants, of Kadmiel, Hodeva's descendants, 74. The singers included Asaph's descendants, 148. The gatekeepers included Shalem's descendants, Ater's descendants, Talmon's descendants, Achab's descendants, Hatita's descendants, Shobai's descendants, 138. The temple servants included Ziha's descendants, Hasufa's descendants, Tabeath's descendants, Keros's descendants, Sia's descendants, Padan's descendants, Lebanah's descendants, Hagabah's descendants, Shalmai's descendants, Hanan's descendants, Gedel's descendants, Gehar's descendants, Reiah's descendants, Rezin's descendants, Nakoda's descendants, Gazim's descendants, Uzzah's descendants, Pesiah's descendants, Besai's descendants, Meunim's descendants, Nephishasem's descendants, Bakbuk's descendants, Hakufa's descendants, Harhur's descendants, Basilith's descendants, Mehida's descendants, Harsha's descendants, Barkos's descendants, Sisera's descendants, Tima's descendants, Neziah's descendants, Hatifa's descendants. The descendants of Solomon's servants included Sotai's descendants, Shophereth's descendants, Perida's descendants, Jala's descendants, Darkon's descendants, Gedel's descendants, Shephatiah's descendants, Hatil's descendants, Pokereth Hazabiam's descendants, Ammon's descendants. All the temple servants and the descendants of Solomon's servants, 392. The following are those who came from Telmela, Telharsha, Cherub, Adon, and Immer, but were unable to prove that their ancestral families and their lineage were Israelite. Deliah's descendants, Tobiah's descendants, and Nakoda's descendants, 642. And from the priests, the descendants of Hobiah, the descendants of Hakoz, and the descendants of Barzillai, who had taken a wife from the daughters of Barzillai the Gileadite, and who bore their name. These searched for their entries in the genealogical records, but they could not be found, so they were disqualified from the priesthood. The governor ordered them not to eat the most holy things until there was a priest who could consult the Urim and the Thummim. The whole combined assembly numbered 42,360, not including their 7,337 male and female servants, as well as their 245 male and female singers. They had 736 horses, 245 mules, 435 camels, and 6,720 donkeys. Some of the family heads contributed to the project. The governor gave 1,000 gold coins, 50 bulls, and 530 priestly garments to the treasury. Some of the family heads gave 20,000 gold coins and 2,200 silver minas to the treasury for the project. The rest of the people gave 20,000 gold coins, 2,000 silver minas, and 67 priestly garments. The priests, Levites, gatekeepers, temple singers, some of the people, temple servants, and all Israel settled in their towns. Psalm 119, verses 33 through 48. Teach me, Lord, the meaning of your statutes, and I will always keep them. Help me understand your instruction, and I will obey it and follow it with all my heart. Help me stay on the path of your commands, for I take pleasure in it. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to dishonest profit. Turn my eyes from looking at what is worthless. Give me life in your ways. Confirm what you said to your servant, for it produces reverence for you. Turn away the disgrace I dread. Indeed, your judgments are good. How I long for your precepts. Give me life through your righteousness. Let your faithful love come to me, Lord, your salvation as you promised. Then I can answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take the word of truth from my mouth, for I hope in your judgments. I will always obey your instruction forever and ever. I will walk freely in an open place because I study your precepts. I will speak of your decrees before kings and not be ashamed. I delight in your commands, which I love. I will lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. One of my goals in making Commuter Bible is so that people on the go would have more opportunities to do just that, to meditate on the Lord's statutes. May we be a people who delight in the Lord's instruction far more than riches, far more than things that entertain us for a moment but have no eternal value. Lord, turn our eyes from looking at what is worthless and give us life in your ways. Today's episode was narrated and orchestrated by me, John Ross, and co-produced by Eric Williamson. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you remember, happy is the one whose delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night.